Blog Talk Radio.
Hi. Thanks for tuning in.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. How are y'all doing?
Thanks for tuning in. Happy Monday, guys.
I know. Pretty hot outside today.
Yeah, it is here too.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, we're live.
Okay. Well, we appreciate everyone for tuning in to The Truth Is, starring myself, Charity, and my co-host, Kiesel and Micah. Today's show will be about relationships, your status, if you're a booty call or your marriage material, whatever it is that you think you are. So if you feel like calling in and giving your opinion, please feel free to do so. This is our first time having a random call-in. So.
You're welcome.
Are you there, Kiesel?
Yes.
Well,
and today we're
kind of...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Charity.
Go ahead.
Well, today what we're specifically addressing is expectations within a relationship. We kind of want to discuss and, you know, open the conversation up about people who are not really in a relationship. That's why we said a pseudo relationship. It may be just intimate, casual dating or casual sex, but people have expectations of these relationships as well, and we kind of want to talk about them because they're not really realistic.
Definitely. If you are tuning in for the first time, we want to give you a brief history of the reasons why we started this show called The Truth Is. It was mainly because we were fed up with the media, the news, Facebook, always portraying black people in a negative way, and we felt compelled to do something about it. That's just the bottom line. And, you know, it's always easier to say, well, this is what I'm going to do, and, you know, to say you'll do anything, but it's definitely another thing to go ahead on and do it. So.
Right. And we want to be our own media, as we all are able to in this day and age. We can make any topic, any conversation relevant, as we are the media these days with social media and avenues like Blog Talk Radio. We can all do what we want to do. We can report the news that we feel like is important to us and relevant to us. So
that's right. We can't leave anything in the hands of anyone else. It's our responsibility, you know, to expose ourselves in a positive way, you know,
Absolutely.
To do things that are positive, to talk things that are positive, you know. It's up to us. We have to take control over our own destiny.
Absolutely. And that's why we saw it fit to have this conversation today, because we know that there are many single people out in the world, and innately by nature we all are destined to be on this planet to procreate and to join with, you know, the opposite sex. So this is actually what everybody's whole focus is about, is connecting with someone else and building a relationship. So that's all the primary goal of most people's life, is to connect with that other person. And some of us feel like it's that one person out in the world with us, for us, and some may feel like, you know, people can be matched up and made to actually connect. So specifically, we know that people are always on the search of how relationships. Sometimes the way they go about it gets them into a little bit of trouble. So today we kind of want to talk a little bit. And again, we're asking whoever's listening, if you want to call in and kind of talk about your own experience or to just give some advice, we're on air and we're ready to hear it.
I guess the first question I would put out there for you to ask yourself is, you know, are you in a relationship just as a one-night stand or a booty call, you know, casual sex? Or do you even know what type of relationship you are in? A lot of times women just get involved with guys and never really talk things out. They want to assume things instead of just being an adult and telling a man what she wants. You know, men aren't psychic. They can't read our minds. You know, women do like to play games just like men do. So, I mean, I would encourage women just to speak up, you know, lay it all out there. Tell a man what it is that you want from the relationship, you know, and if he's not willing to do that, then move on.
Right. And I think that's where people have the challenge, because oftentimes I think people feel like they can change a person. Like, oh, yeah, he said he's not really ready for a relationship, but wait until I put it on him, or wait until I cook my mom's smothered pork chops. Like, that's going to get him. And that's really an altered way of thinking about something. Because if someone's been honest and they tell you what they want, you have to go with that.
Definitely. And I guess my main reason, or the main focus for me wanting to choose this topic to cover, was it's a lot of single parents in our community. You know, a lot of women who are raising children on their own, maybe because they trapped a man into getting them pregnant, or maybe they wasn't listening to the man saying that he wasn't ready for children, or, you know, just, I don't count, whatever your personal reasons were. I mean, we have to stop assuming that a man knows what we want, and then we have to also, something that, I mean, yes, we are special as women, but, you know, sex isn't going to change a man's mind. I mean, he would have to want to do it and be there for you or marry you on his own. You cooking for him and thinking you giving him the best sex of his life, that's not going to change his mind. So now you're stuck with raising single kids. I mean, raising children as a single parent.
Right. And because you didn't really assess where you were in that relationship and kind of where they place you. Like, I always believe when you meet someone, this goes for men and women, we do it too, you put them in a bit of a category. Okay, this is somebody that I really want to get to know because I like them, I'm feeling them. Or I'll go out on a couple dates, you know, maybe, you know, go to that favorite restaurant I've been dying to go to. I'm just saying, women do this. Or, God, wow, this is somebody I really want to be intimate with. I think people put people in categories upon meeting them, first impressions. And oftentimes, I hate to say, and we can assess this and analyze it on our own, we don't really change. They don't really move from category A to B. So a lot of times you meet somebody, you're in a category, you need to know the signs of when you're placed in that category that you don't want to be in, whether it be, oh, she's not marriage material, but I'll date her in the meantime while I'm dating this one and this one. Or, hey, I really want to get to know this girl, or I just want to have sex with her. So you have to figure out what category you're in, and if you're not cool with that, then you have to move forward.
And definitely, this is real life. This isn't the cartoons. This isn't a fairy tale. You know, a lot of young ladies are, you know, used to, oh, their guy's going to come in this white, shining armor. He's going to be tall, dark, and handsome, and, you know, whatever it is that women fool themselves into believing. But, I mean, unless he's a supermodel, he, you know, making money off him being tall, dark, and handsome, that's not the only quality that will make a man, you know, a good husband, a good father, you know, a good mate. So you can't just go off as soon as you see a man, oh, he's tall, dark, and handsome, and he has pretty eyes, and then, you know, you're in love in 5 minutes, you want to have his children. We have to be realistic and make better, mature decisions.
Absolutely. So, you know, I had a question about if you feel like it's where you meet someone has anything to do with the potential of the relationship.
Well,
what do you think?
Of course, don't have it down to a science, but, I mean, majority rules, if you're the type of person that's in the club every weekend, that's not going to be a good mate to find. I mean, because once y'all get together, they're still going to be in the club every weekend. But if you're meeting someone maybe at a book club or at the grocery store, maybe, you know, somewhere, maybe Bible class, somewhere, you know, someone would be more stable-minded, you know, settle for the club. No, I don't think so.
I don't hang out at book clubs, but I'm sure, I personally feel like it doesn't matter, but you also have to assess that person, because what if somebody's just going out, they're celebrating their friend's birthday or somebody's bachelor party or bachelorette, but you do have to figure out what type of person that is, because if they're the type that they're prowling the clubs every weekend, they already have you in a box that they want you to be in, which may be just a bedmate. So,
hello.
I think the other
hello?
Part is, yes, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think
go
the
ahead.
Other part
I can
is
hear
that
you for a second.
how they approach you is important, you know. Oftentimes, you know, because men have already made assessment about you. If somebody's coming up and asking you, let's hang out, and they're not saying, oh, let's go on a date, let me take you here. And it doesn't have to be a dinner day or to the five-star restaurant in town, but if they're approaching you and they're like, let's link up later, that's different from saying, I want to get to know you, let's hang out. So you have to really be mindful of what somebody's saying to you, because they're usually, people say what they mean right off the bat, usually. So the approach, I think, is important, too.
And definitely, I mean, if a man is being honest with you and he's telling you, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship, I'm not looking for anything serious, don't try to change his mind. I mean, you don't always have to be in a serious relationship. Sometimes you can just get to know somebody as a friend and just enjoy the time that you have. You know, everybody has their purpose in your life. You know, and everybody's purpose isn't to be there forever. Some people's purpose is temporary.
Right. And I think another thing that's important that, you know, may need a whole episode about, but the importance of dating. And we know that oftentimes people limit themselves in dating, meaning they date just one person, the guy or the girl they really like. And that's not really what dating means. Dating means to interact with maybe more than one person. But that doesn't mean sex either. And I think it's important that we women, particularly black women, learn how to date and also not close out our options.
Well, a lot of times women get themselves into circumstances and traps. Of course, you're not going to have a man that's serious about you if he's married or if he has a girlfriend. I mean, a lot of times when women are saying, well, oh, I can't find a man, or my man doesn't want to take me serious, or he doesn't want to pop the question, but yet he already has a wife or a girlfriend or, you know, somebody he's living with in the cut. I mean, you're setting yourself up a situation where you're setting up to fail. So you can't just blame the man. Women have to take responsibility for their part. I mean, we're not taking anything away from the guys and the games that they play, but women, they play a part too in things that they do.
Yeah, but they can often also see people who have been in victim roles. You know, sometimes people wear their victimization on them. So if you're someone who's been in a domestic violence relationship in the past or you've been mistreated, you know, sometimes we get in these cycles of dating the same people. They just look different. So, you know, for those instances, you may need someone else to also, like, kind of help guide you through the process that you can't see, which could be some sort of a coach or a therapist. You know, it's not a deep issue, like, you know, you're not suicidal or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes we need someone to help us with our insight, because sometimes we can't see. Our vision and our judgment gets clouded based on the patterns that we've gotten ourselves into.
Definitely. And another thing, too, I have observed over the years how women could have a good man in their life, but they're putting him in the friendship zone. I mean, he's a guy that would do anything for you and your children, no matter if you're in a relationship or not. He's always there. We all know we have a friend like that. And because he doesn't look like you want him to look, or he may not be very fit with a six-pack, or, you know, how you want your dream guy to look. But you're overlooking him because, you know, something superficial.
Yeah, that's something we definitely have to work on. And then, you know, there's just some telltale signs when you're involved with someone who is not officially dating you. And I think a lot of people, you know, for whatever reason, they don't understand the courting process, and sometimes they'll forego the courting process because they really like somebody. And, you know, so my thing is, like, when I was dating, I would never allow a guy to come to my house to just hang out. Like, you can't just say, oh, let me just come to your house and kick it. Like, no, that's not okay, because that's not the space I want to get to know you at, in my house, in the comfort of my own home. You know, and like I said, always have to be a five-star dinner, but we can go many places. We can meet for coffee. We can go to the park. We can have a dinner. It doesn't have to be a $100 plate dinner, but I don't want to get to know people in the comfort of my home. That's my space. It's my sanctuary. And when I don't know you that well, I don't really trust you. So I really encourage women, don't kick it, quote unquote, with people that you're trying to get to know with at their house, at your house. I get it that, you know, when you're dating, you have to be budget conscious, but we can figure that out. But sometimes that's just a, you know, a one-way street to somebody's bedroom, I'm sorry to say.
Definitely. I totally agree that you have to set boundaries when you're courting someone or dating someone because, I mean, especially if you're a single parent with children, you don't want to, and you're dating or courting more than one guy, you don't want to have to bring all these guys over for your children to see. I mean, you may not be sleeping with them. You may not be doing anything inappropriate, but it's just the traffic that your children will see. And even if you don't have any children, you don't want everybody that you meet knowing where you live because you don't really know them. You don't know what kind of person they are. You know, they could be a stalker or, you know, a peeping Tom. You just never know. So you have to set limitations and protect yourself when you're dating.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the other thing that we want to encourage women is not to look desperate. You know, oftentimes I think, and I talk to men, I survey men, anywhere I go, you know, at a bar, I like to pick people's brains. So I always talk to men about, you know, if they're dating more than one woman, blah, blah, and they're pretty honest because, again, I'm not one of their, you know, they're not seeking me out. But men don't like the thirst. Women don't either, so we should be able to empathize and really get it. When people are extra desperate appearing, you know, they're doing all these things to make, you know, people gel together already, that's unattractive, and men are going to run away from that, and vice versa, women will too. You know, you got somebody, you know, I just met you, and the good morning text every day is fine, but you can't be calling me all throughout. Like, we're trying to get to know each other, so there are boundaries within that. But my other suggestion to looking desperate is encouraging women to date. You know, you're dating more than one person. You shouldn't be constantly available for that one guy you really, really like, because men, at the end of the day, they like the chase. They like the chase.
Definitely. Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to be on the show Eliminate to do the same thing in your life. You know, you can be courting more than one man, and, you know, when you sit down and talk to each one of them, let's ask them questions about their long-term and short-term goals, you know, if they plan on getting married one day, even if it's just a thought, having children, you know, what kind of career they want, you know, you have to get to know and ask these questions. They are important. Don't wait until you have wasted 2 and 3 and 4 and 7 years of your life with a man before you know these, and then you're like, well, dang, I wish I would have knew that at the beginning. Well, it's your responsibility to ask at the beginning, not to assume.
And I just wonder why women, you know, not that you're going to have the answer, but why women feel the need to not be open. Because at the end of the day, you can only be you. No matter how long you send your representative in, at some point somebody's going to know who you are, because that's all you really know how to be. So not being yourself and trying to be fake, like you like basketball when you really hate it, or you're a vegan when you know you eat meat all the time. Like, you can't play those games with people, because at the end of the day, when you show yourself, they're going to be confused, and which they have every right to be. And they may change their mind about how they feel about you, which they have every right to do. So try to be as authentic in yourself as you can, because those are the people who you're going to really have the best chemistry with. You can't be
definitely
anybody else for so long.
Yeah, definitely. And the most important thing is to know yourself. I mean, if you don't know yourself, you don't know what you want out of life, out of a career, out of a family, then how can you engage in a relationship with someone else? You need to take time. It's okay. You don't have to be with anyone all the time. It's okay to take some time to just get to know yourself, to maybe travel, to figure it out with school and work or whatever it is that, you know, you want to do with your life. You don't want to take you being lost and then add another person into the equation.
And, you know, oftentimes I think what happens is people, which we talked about, Charity, they really ignore that intuition, you know.
Definitely.
We have a womanly intuition, and sometimes we ignore it. I don't know. We just don't, you know, we hear the bells and whistles going out, but I don't know why we just turn left instead of going right, like we know we should have.
I agree. I mean, sometimes women can ignore their intuition so much that it's fear. They no longer really have a relationship.
They're not in
because
tune.
They're
yeah.
so used, right? They're so used to turning a blind eye or ignoring the signs, and you can become seared with your relationship with yourself. You can be lost within yourself and not know whether you're coming or going. So the best thing is to that intuition is almost like the Holy Spirit. It's telling you,
mm-hmm.
it's guiding you, it's letting you know when you're in danger, it's letting you know when you're doing the wrong thing, making the wrong choices. And if you constantly ignore it, then of course you're going to run into a ditch, a dead end.
And particularly when it comes to the relationships, it's like we know what's good for us, we know who's good for us, but often we want what we want, and we don't what we need, you know, and I think that that's across the board with a lot of us, you know.
Yeah, and that comes with working on yourself. I mean, too many women are using men or wanting men to fill a void, emptiness, that a man can't feel. A man can't be your father if you grew up in a single-parent home. He can't be your God or your Lord or, you know, your captain save you or, you know. You have to be whole first before you get into a relationship.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because relationships are such an integral part of our lives that we do sometimes so desperately need to connect that we just sometimes connect to the wrong people. And we're just asking everybody to just kind of be a little introspective and think about, you know, maybe today after the show or after you hear this, like kind of like look at the last 3 or 4 relationships and see what the commonalities are. Like, okay, what did these people have in common? And how these relationships ended, what did they have in common? And you're going to come up with a theme, and you can't deny, you know, what you see. You know, it's easy for us to deny, you know, to be in denial. Like I say, denial is a great place. It's sunny, it's beautiful, it's warm, it's comfortable. We like to lay there and rest there. But it's not a place that you want to linger because then your whole reality is skewed. So we need everyone to take a look and see who have I been dating and what do these people represent? And who would be the best person for me? Not the materialistic, the looks, the tangibles, but what type of person?
Which are important. We don't want to leave that out.
Oh, true that. Patient. Like, I know I need somebody who's patient who can really just work with me, you know, like, because I got things going on. So I need somebody who is patient, like that, above everything else, like, work with me.
Someone that could bring something to the table, be your equal and not your dependent. You're not raising a son. You need somebody to step up to the plate. I mean, what is worse than the fool that fools himself? I mean, we have to stop kidding ourselves here. We have to start being honest with ourselves and honest with each other.
And men do the same thing, so I don't know if this is on all women. Like, I've, you know, have friends that constantly date a damsel in distress. Like, every woman you get is somebody who needs you because she's crumbling or she's falling apart, and it's like, what is it about you that seeks people who need to be rescued? Like, sometimes when you look at, again, who, what, and how often these patterns are happening. So men are too. It's like, you need an equal. You don't need somebody that you need to save all the time.
And I don't think I have ever asked a person whose relationship didn't work out and they didn't point to the other person. Now, if you go
right.
and ask them what did they do wrong, then you hear crickets.
Crickets.
Like they had no part, like one party was the, you know, the sole reason the relationship. Come on now. We can all accept our part, you know, in a relationship, working and failing. You know, everybody want to take.
They want to take the credit.
Everybody want to take.
Yes.
Right, but no one wants to get the credit when something has failed.
And that takes maturity, too. And that's another reason, like you said, it's important to really know yourself, get to know yourself. And some people grow within relationships, you know. People who, you know, date when they're 17 and because, you know, whatever reasons or, you know, values they have, they feel like they have to marry that person, and they get married, and they're married for 10, 12 years, and they realize, hey, not only have I grown and I'm somebody different, I don't even know who you are. I don't even know why I married you. So sometimes people do have to just grow within relationships to really know who they are.
See, a lot of times I've noticed when people are in relationships, umpteen years, 10 or 5 years or more, they are so angry because it didn't work out. And if they only admitted it, they already knew the signs were there. They just was like, well, maybe we can work this out. Maybe we can do this and we can do that. No, maybe you should pay attention to the signs and act accordingly. Mm-hmm. If that person isn't for you, don't try to force it. Don't try to kick against the prick. That person isn't for you. Move on. Don't mess up two people's lives and then bring some children into the situation. Then that's right. a whole family broken up, mm-hmm. which you could have avoided.
Right. And I have lots of just sometimes being selfish or sometimes just wanting something so badly, you know, which we all know how that is. But like you said, don't ruin your life and somebody else's because, you know, we can't get that time back. We can't.
You can never
and that's
make
the whole
a good
purpose.
Choice out of desperation.
Right. It's the whole purpose. Like, all of our time is precious, and especially women, you know, we're a little bit more time sensitive with relationships in terms of giving birth and, you know, those kind of things. So it's like, don't waste your time. Don't invest time and energy in a relationship that is going nowhere. We came up with about 5 things for you to really, some red flags for you to really know that this is not a relationship. This is a casual dating, casual sexual relationship, but it's not a relationship. And some of us need to be slapped in the face 2 times to really, or shook real hard to get, like, this is not your man. It's your boo, maybe, but it's not your man, and there is a difference. So if you're not having
exactly.
any public dates, if you're not going out in public at all, that's a one red flag, a big one, that you're not dating.
He's only calling. Okay, and he's only calling you at night, like past midnight,
right.
and, you know, so can't no one see you. That's not a relationship.
Right. So he's making no real time for you. That you've never met any of his friends or ever been invited to any functions that are, you know, at someone's house or even at this person's house, there's another sign that you're probably not dating.
And if he
you're
comes
sexing.
Up missing while you're on your administration for the whole week, every single month, if you don't see him, you know that's not a real relationship. Okay.
Or he never talks to you about any real content, like anything about his life, what he does, like, or future goals. That's another sign that you are not dating, okay? It's not a relationship.
Yeah, you're just a booty call, sweetie. I mean, that's all you are. Stay in your lane. Know your place.
Or he's basically said, I don't want to be in a relationship. That's the biggest red flag of them all. You're not in a relationship.
Okay.
And they say, I don't want to be in a relationship.
So, believe them when
again,
they say it.
Believe them. Again, we're encouraging to date women and men. Date. Get out there. It's the only way you're going to meet people. And also get used to, you know, some dates may be practice. That's what I used to say. Like, okay, this is practice. I don't like this person, but they're a nice person, but they were not a match. I'm still going to have a good time. This is practice. But get out there and date. And don't limit yourself, right, Charity, to just black men or fantasy.
Definitely broaden your... Yes, definitely. Reach outside of your race. A good man is a good man. Doesn't matter what the color is. Broaden your horizon. Your horizon.
And your numbers will
okay,
definitely be. Stats alone, you'll have more options. So as we close
definitely.
Our third episode, we say thank you to everyone who's tuned in.
Yes, we appreciate everyone for tuning in. Please give us feedback and your opinions on our show. Know that we appreciate you. We know your time is valuable. And always remember, we love y'all. And if you don't believe in yourself, if no one else believes in you, make sure you know that God believes in you and believe in yourself.
Thank you, guys. Don't forget our Facebook
Bye.
Page. The Truth Is. We're just going to email on the truthisshow@gmail.com. Have a great week. And we love you.
Bye.
Look at me in my face. Tell me that you're not just about this place. You really think I could be replaced? Nah, I come from outer space. And I'm a classy girl. I'ma hold it up. You full of something, but it ain't love. What we got is